Ulterior.
This is a big deal for me. This episode, I mean. And it's a big deal for a multiplicity of reasons, all of which I will tap into throughout the next, I don't know, 25 or 30 or 40 minutes or however the fuck long this all takes. But the one reason that I was kind of alluding to for this intro was that Sleep Token had the first ever single album episode of this show. You know, before taking me back to Eden, everything that I reviewed was bunched up into a group with whatever else came out that week. And while there were records in years prior to 2023 that I wanted to do these kinds of, you know, like focused episodes on, I just didn't think that I'd be able to carry on a conversation for just one album for an entire episode. But then with taking back to Eden, it felt like there was a true story there to tell, and it was a story that encompassed my background with Sleep Token leading up to that album, and the singles rollout, and, you know, the impact that everybody could see unfolding in real time in terms of both the band and the scene at large, and so on and so forth. And me gaining that confidence in my own abilities as a podcaster through Taking Back to Eden, it made it possible for me to have more single album episodes later on for bands like Bring Me the Horizon, Knocked Loose, Poppy, Linkin Park, and so on. And now I get to circle back to Sleep Token for this format and talk about their latest offering to the world. Their latest body of work that I would say is certain to carry with it a similar type of reverence and fan adoration as Take Me Back to Eden, which was Ulterior's 2023 Record of the Year, by the way. So, in a lot of ways, this is probably the biggest and most important follow-up that I have ever talked about on this show. And we're going to get right into everything that there is to get into regarding Even in Arcadia by Sleep Token. Thank you guys so much for tapping in, and I really hope y'all enjoy this episode. I suppose that the best place to start with all of this would be kind of reiterating my background with Sleep Token, although I won't go into extreme detail this time around because I kind of already did so 2 years ago on the episode where I reviewed Take Me Back to Eden. So what I will say here is that the first time that I ever reviewed Sleep Token for Ulterior was in 2021 on the album This Place Will Become Your Tomb. And I went into that record with a sort of like a predicament that was very much so just in my head and never anything that needed to translate to the work that I do on this platform. So it really is a shame that it ultimately did. So I wasn't that much into Sleep Token prior to that record. I thought Sundowning was fine, but at the time, it wasn't really an album that I regularly returned to outside of Bloodsport, which is a fucking majestic song in my opinion. So then, when it was time to listen to and review This Place Will Become Your Tomb, I kind of knew already that I was going to talk about the record favorably, even if I didn't vibe with it that much. And some of the reasons included, you know, again, a really strong desire on my end to like Sleep Token, because I thought the concept of the band was incredible. I loved the anonymous aspect to the band members, the presentation from like the mask and the outfits and the way the shows look, it was fucking sick. You know, it was the type of project that I thought really spoke to the like kind of dark imagery that I love so much, and they were delivering on every front for myself to the utmost extent, except for musically. And also, I will admit that some of the praise for Sleep Token in 2021 on my end was also derived from a place of kind of just wanting to state an opinion that wasn't contrary or combative, because it felt like everyone else around me, individuals and review outlets alike, they were all on board with Sleep Token, and it made me feel like I was the one who was in the wrong, or I was the one who was like missing something or not getting something as it related to the success and the acclaim for Sleep Token, which is so fucking like silly and childish to say, but I'm really just trying to keep it a buck with y'all. I really, really tried to like force myself to like the album to the point where I reviewed it incredibly favorably at the time. I think like it might have gotten a 9 or a 9.5 or even a 10 on this episode or this platform rather. I didn't even believe in that outside of Alkaline at the time. So I really just did that review and then moved on. And I will say that it always did bother me the way that I chose to review Sleep Token at the time. And I did make sort of like a conscious decision afterwards to never do anything like that again and just like be honest about something. If I don't like it, then just say on here that I don't like it. Like, who cares if what I say is a, you know, like a contrast to popular belief or popular opinion or whatever, however you want to express it. And I would like to believe that I did get better at that after This Way to Become a Tomb. And I say all of that to say that when the time came for the new era of Sleep Token to arrive, I was ready to be honest with it. And that's because I did have a preconceived notion that, you know, I wasn't going to be into it as much, because if I wasn't into Sundowning or This Place Would Become Your Tomb to that extent, then, you know, what did I really expect to happen with the third album by the band? And then when that actually started to happen at the beginning of 2023, and we all saw Sleep Token become the force that they are now, that was one of the most like fucking awe-inspiring things I've ever seen in this space. And not just within the timeline of Ulterior's existence, but the entirety of my fandom for this kind of music, which, you know, dates as far back as to like roughly 2001, and it was a trajectory that I could have never predicted, because this was legitimately like the second week of 2023, or maybe even the first rather. And if somebody had told me when I was wrapping up the 2022 year-end episodes that the band I'd be speaking about the most for 2023's festivities would be Sleep Token, I would have been excited, for one, because like I said before, I really have been wanting to get into this band because I think they are the embodiment of everything visually that I love about music and the creativity that goes into that. But I would also be very puzzled because I could not have ever like formulated in words or thoughts or expressions what Sleep Token would actually have to do to make me feel that way about them. And then all they did after that was just put out the most consistent and fucking quality bits of music that they ever have in their careers. The Summoning, Chokehold, Aukaresia, Granite, Do You Wish That You Love Me, and Vora all made up one of the most effective and stellar singles rollouts I have ever seen in my life. And each of those songs did a magnificent job at exemplifying what Take Me Back to Eden was going to feel like, while also still amazingly leaving enough meat on the bone, per se, for non-singles like Euclid or the title track to give the same astonishment that the singles did. What Take Me Back to Eden did for myself was not just like highlight the versatility and the range of Sleep Token, but also like really put in front of me what it is that I had been missing, because like I said earlier in this review, when everybody around me was talking so highly of Sleep Token and I didn't get it, I wondered, like, what is it that I am not seeing? Because I feel like it has to be a me case at that point. And then Take Me Back to Eden, like, showed me everything that it was that I was missing. And I could not have fallen in love with that album any more than I did, and any more than I still am to this day. And it's just one of the most invigorating things I've ever been a part of, music-wise, at least. Take Me Back to Eden is one of the best albums I've ever listened to, and I could extend that all-time standing praise to a number of songs on the record, and I think that was made evident on my end during the 2023 year-end episodes, because I named Take Me Back to Eden the record of the year, and subsequently, The Summoning was my song of the year. Sleep Token is the only band thus far in Ulterior history to have both record and song of the year for the same year, and all of that really just kickstarted the intense admiration that I have for Sleep Token, and I would imagine that I am going to feel like that now forever. And then ever since then, anybody who has access to social media and is active in those corners of the internet for scene music, everybody has been able to see the fucking monster and beast that Sleep Token has become, not just in terms of the quality of their music, but name value for that matter too. And I don't have the exact number with me. I know State of the Scene was like very on top of this as it was happening, but right before Chokehold and The Summoning dropped at the beginning of 2023, I want to say that Sleep Token had like somewhere between, it might have been like 200 and 500,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. And then after those singles came out, and then throughout the entire rollout for Take Me Back to Eden, and then the record cycle, they started to amass listeners in the millions. And I think right now, actually, instead of saying I think, I'm going to go to their Spotify page and like check for myself what it is, because the number is, like, you can't fabricate this. You can't make that shit up. 9 million monthly listeners as of this recording. And then even if I go to, like, some of the top tracks right now on their Spotify page, Caramel, 44 million. Emergent, 54 million. Damocles, 20 million. And I point out those numbers because those were the singles out for Even in Arcadia ahead of the record's release. Emergence has been out for about 2 months as of this recording. 54 million listens is fucking insane. And then even some of the brand new songs. Title Trek has 5 million. Look to Windward has 4.6. Dangerous has 4.4. These are numbers that you cannot, like, take anything away from or try to paint in any sort of a positioning or standing aside from. Sleep Token is the fucking band right now, and they have been for, you know, a little over 2 years now that they've been on this upward trend. Like, when I think in my head of the, like, mainstay bands at the top of the food chain right now for C music, I'm thinking Bad Omens, I'm thinking Spirit Box, I'm thinking Lorna Shore, and I'm also thinking Sleep Token. And there's a real argument, I think, that can be made for why Sleep Token is the biggest of those bands. Like, no funny shit, guys. I think that there is a real argument for Sleep Token being the biggest and most important band not named Bring Me the Horizon that we have for us today. And if I'm going to talk about the positives of Sleep Token's rise, I should also at least kind of touch on the negatives, which has been the intense and very uncomfortable parasocial relationship that some of their fans have made with them. And I think it is important to point that out because it does feel like some of the narrative spins on this record are inspired by how Vessel and the other members have been made to feel by these specific fans of theirs. And I do want to make that distinction between fans of Sleep Token and then these parasocial fans, because there really is a difference. There is nothing wrong or weird about, you know, being a fan of this band and having this really strong and burning passion for them. You know, there was I can't remember like what Twitter account it was that posted this, but there was a tweet that I saw of images from a listening party for Even in Arcadia, and you could see in the images like the emotions that were present on these fans' faces. And like some of them, I think were even like moved to tears listening to this record, or at least like that's what these images presented them as. And I really believe that somebody being like that emotionally moved by a band or a record or a song or whatever, I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's like such a, you know, a testament to the impact that Sleep Token has been able to have on so many people's lives. But then there are some people on Twitter who kind of like weaponize those images to make fun of Sleep Token fans. And I'm going to get to the Sleep Token detractors in a little bit, because I do have some things to say about them as well. Full offense intended. But my main point there was that there are very obviously people who are fans of this band and truly just fans. They have not overstepped those boundaries or crossed those lines. On the opposite end, there are the fans who have done that. And they have made the members of Sleep Token feel very uncomfortable, and the, you know, the constant acts of like attempting to dox this band and like unmask them, essentially. Like everybody in Sleep Token has a mask for a reason. They do not want their identities to be out there, and it's very, very wrong for anybody to try stepping over those boundaries and like feeling like they're owed something by Sleep Token. Sleep Token does not owe fucking any of us anything. Like, it's such a shame, honestly, that some fans have taken those very drastic measures for these things or agendas that they really have no business treading on. And since I already mentioned the part about Sleep Token detractors, I'll just touch on that a little bit now so it doesn't bleed into the positive outlook on this review that I have for the record. I think when it comes to, okay, a band as big as Sleep Token is obviously going to have people who do not get it the way that I used to, you know. And if somebody were to go online and say, hey, I don't personally like Even in Arcadia, it's not for me, that's one thing. And like, that's a totally valid and reasonable point to make about something that is ultimately very subjective. Now, if somebody were to go online, and I have seen this for that matter, and not just target Sleep Token or this record, but also fans, and say that anybody is, you know, dumb or whatever it might be for liking this band or this record, or the way that a certain Twitter account, who I have nothing against, by the way, nothing against whatsoever, but the way that they phrase their argument of being like, can we stop pretending that this band is God's gift to music, or, you know, whatever it was that they said. There really is no need to say things like this, because it can in turn make some people like feel, you know, belittled for their choices of liking this band or liking the music or, you know, whatever the case may be. That sucks. That really, really sucks. And I hate seeing responses like that to, again, something that is just very subjective. And if somebody is just a fan of Sleep Token, not in the parasocial way that I already outlined, but like literally just listening to the music, just consuming them, just, you know, buying the merchandise, going to the shows, if they're just doing all that to no harm of anybody, then what purpose does it serve to try to make them feel any less for liking this band? And if anybody believes like this whole section of me talking about the fans and the non-fans of Sleep Token was kind of like complex or all over the place, it probably was, because there is no other band today in the scene who, you know, any of this stuff can be talked about the same way as Sleep Token. And, you know, you can make the argument about like Bad Omens fans being very similar, but I think with Sleep Token, it's a little bit different because of the anonymous factor of the band members' identities, and again, how that's kind of been stepped all over by so many people out there. Like, when you talk about Sleep Token, you kind of do need to do so in a way that is entirely unique to themselves, because that's the situation that I think we're in right now with them. And now I do really want to get into the actual musical aspect of Even in Arcadia, because much like with Take Me Back to Eden, there is a lot to talk about and get into and analyze, overanalyze, all that good shit. I think the best place to start would be the singles rollout, because I did mention them by name earlier. It was Emergence, and then Caramel, and then Damocles. We're going to start with Emergence because it was the lead single for this album, and I think that was the correct choice, as it does feel like the best possible bridge for the sound to go from Take Me Back to Eden to the sound of Even in Arcadia. It has some similar tones and tendencies, and there is never a way for the formula of a song beginning with Vessel and some piano keys to fail whatsoever. The line that repeats a couple times in Emergence, "So go ahead, wrap your arms around me, arms around me, arms around me," acting as the segue from one sound to another in this song, I thought was excellent, and it's a little jingle of sorts that's been stuck in my head for 2 months now, ever since I first heard this track. Emergence feels like properly layered and structured, and what I mean by that is there is a lot going on in it without one style ever drowning out the other, and I think that is something that Sleep Token has perfected by this point. Emergence feels so large, and it truly was the correct way, in my opinion, to officially usher in this new era for the band. Caramel was the next single, and for this to have been the immediate follow-up to Emergence, I thought was a big-time move by Sleep Token, as it successfully highlighted the versatility of this album, and it also kind of like, I would say, reassured every fan out there that the experimentation factor and element that they may have been drawn to by Take Me Back to Eden was going to be here as well. Something that I actually remember about Caramel, and this is a side note that has to do with Ulterior and not so much Sleep Token, it's that Caramel was the only single of this bunch to not be number one in Scenic Overlook the week that it dropped, and that was solely because of Face by Static Dress. But I say that to say that Caramel, I would imagine, is still going to be a very high-ranking song for the year-end awards in 2025, because it's one of the coolest and most vibrant journeys that a Sleep Token song has ever taken me on. The song is largely supported by a reggaeton beat that even took me aback because of just how, like, well it fits in with this song, and it never feels forced or gimmicky in any way. Like, this is the exact style that was meant to fit the narrative of Caramel lyrically, and it's a narrative that feels so personal and, like, insightful for a band such as Sleep Token, who I think a lot of people are so used to being tied to lore when it comes to the, you know, the thematic side of them. I think what Caramel is really getting at is the unfortunate repercussions that come with the fame that Sleep Token has achieved, and I detailed this earlier. That has come at the hands of the parasocial fans who have taken their adoration way too far so many times now. Caramel in itself is a very sticky and sweet substance, and I think that's the perfect metaphor for what Vestal and the other members of Sleep Token have had to endure from these people. It's very sweet on one hand that the band has been able to achieve this level of fame that was probably once mythological to them, but the dangerous way that some people have stuck to them is a net negative for everybody involved. The chorus is another huge indicator to all that. "So stick to me like caramel, walk beside me till you feel nothing as well." Damocles was the third single and ultimately the final one ahead of Even in Arcadia's release, and I spoke about it a little bit on this show during the singles reviews 2 weeks ago, but I wanted to save some of my thoughts for when I got around to making this episode post-album release. Damocles very much so, like, moved me emotionally to the point where when I heard this song for the very first time, I truly did not know if I was about to start crying in the coffee shop I was sitting in at the time. And I don't care how that makes me look, I don't care if anybody thinks that's like pussy or whatever, because I was truly immersed in Damocles and living in the moment of getting to hear Vessel be about as vulnerable as he ever has been before. And I remember the exact moment that did it for me. That first chorus where the piano arrangement sounds as loud as Vessel's voice while he is saying, "When the river runs dry and the curtain is called, how will I know if I can't see the bottom? Come up for air and choke on it all. No one else knows that I've got a problem. What if I can't get up and stand tall? What if the diamond days are all gone? And who will I be when the empire falls? Wake up alone and I'll be forgotten." From there, the song is this absolutely beautiful tale that highlights another huge concern on the part of Vessel amidst this newfound fame of Sleep Token. And it all ties into the story of Damocles in a way, which I will make sense of by reading an excerpt straight from the Genius annotation of the song. The Damocles story is an ancient Greek narration of a nobleman who sits at his throne with a sword always above him, tied only with a single thread, representing the ever-lurking fear in a noble position when anything can go south in an instant. And this is all about the concern of Vessel for what happens if Sleep Token loses their spot suddenly. A spot that they were thrust into pretty quickly in comparison to where they were at before, taken back to Eden. What does Sleep Token look like from a personal level if this all faded away and everybody abandoned them? What if Vessel is not good enough to parlay the success of taking back to Eden into the rest of his career? Damocles explains an internal struggle that I would imagine many artists go through, but I guess it's just like very startling to hear this from a band who never really spoke like this before. Like, I think a lot of us are so used to seeing Sleep Token through like those, you know, mythological lenses in a way. Like, this is a band who exists like kind of in a spiritual way and not so much like directly in front of us. Yet these are all reminders, like, these are people. And it's a very, very firm reminder that I think a lot of fans out there need to hear. Where the album itself begins is Look to Windward, which has this sort of like an 8-bit melody at the start of it that progresses into the introduction of Vessel in the album. And there is a repeated line of, "Will you halt this eclipse in me?" And it's done so many times that it started to become engraved in my brain the same way that the 8-bit stuff was. And then when you hear the strings start to work their way in, that's where the anticipation was really building, and I was just ready for this song to, like, destroy this stratosphere the way that I expected it to. And I was not at all disappointed in its execution. And from there, Look to Windward feels like more than just an introduction to Even in Arcadia. It feels like the introduction to a completely brand new world set in motion by Sleep Token. Honest to God, one of the most effective opening songs that I've ever covered on this show. And every single time I listen to Even in Arcadia from front to back, there is this, like, enormous dumb little smile on my face. And one of the reasons is because Look to Windward gets to be the first song that I listen to. After Emergence, which is the second song on the album, there is Past Self. And I've given a lot of thought and a lot of consideration to exactly how I want to talk about this song, because I feel like, here's what I'll do. Here's how I'm going to work my way into this. This is a spoiler for Scenic Overlook, which I think is going to be released either 1 or 2 days after this episode drops. So if you're hearing this early, then you got the scoop on this. Past Self is going to be the number one song of the week for Scenic Overlook this week, meaning that Past Self is now guaranteed a spot in the top 100 songs list in December. Past Self is my favorite song on this record, and I've had the thought of, what if this is my favorite Sleep Token song ever? which covers a fucking monstrous sized ground, but my experience of listening to Past Self, it really felt like just, you know, the stars aligned and all that other metaphorical shit. What I remember is the very first time I heard this song, and subsequently my first time hearing this album, it was on Friday morning. I was sitting at my desk and just looking out at the window. Where my window is, I have actually a pretty good view of the outside, and there's a bunch of trees and scenery. It actually looks really cool at times. And this particular day, last Friday, it looked amazing. And I'm sitting there. I have my cat Historia sleeping on the desk in front of me. She's actually sleeping next to me right now as well. Hi Historia, how's it going? You like Sleep Token? Yeah, she likes Sleep Token. So I'm looking out at the, again, it's bright outside, blue sky, green leaves, all that cool shit. And then Past Self starts to play. And right away, there is like a sea of emotions that just struck me in my heart. And I couldn't explain it at the time. And it's my eyes just started to widen. And I'm so mesmerized by what I'm hearing. And some of that majesty of this song, it also registered in my head as nostalgia. And I couldn't exactly figure out right away, what is it that Past Self reminds me of? And it didn't actually dawn on me until later on in the day when I started to see what some other people online were saying about this song. And they had a very similar mindset as myself, whereas this song has that kind of a nostalgic feeling, and it was pointed out that it's because the intro sounds like Great Fairy Fountain from the Legend of Zelda series, and I think specifically it's the rendition from Ocarina of Time that this song reminds us of. And from there, it made sense to me of okay, I understand why I had those feelings when I first heard Past Self, and then even every listen thereafter. But what I am still trying to make sense of in my mind, and this is all again, so fucking silly to say I'm trying to make sense of this. Past Self being my favorite song on Even in Arcadia, in some ways, I almost feel I don't know, man, bad, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I feel a little bit bad, very strangely bad, that Past Self is my favorite song on the album, because it is easily the least layered song here. There are really not as many intricacies in here as, you know, Emergence, Caramel, Dangerous, Look to Windward, Title Track, Provider. These songs that I mentioned, they have those traditional Sleep Token layers, and they feel like adventures and journeys. Past Self in itself is a very simple song, and yet I've been able to connect with it in a way that is so hard to grasp or explain. It is one of the safest plays of a song that I've ever heard out of Sleep Token, and again, nowhere near as detailed as anything else around it, yet I just have this connection to it. The piano melody just gets to me every time, as does the way Vessel's voice sounds, and how it's almost he's, in a way, rapping a little bit in the verses, and the overall, really strong R&B inspiration that you can hear in Past Self. Past Self is not heavy whatsoever. A lot of what I really, really love about Sleep Token is not here, yet I'm still able to have this intense love and passion for Past Self, and I think that's another reason why I feel so amazed by it, because again, it's so stripped down from what I know Sleep Token to be and what I love Sleep Token to be. I probably should not like this song the way that I do, but I fucking love it so goddamn much, bro. If you absolutely must simplify a Sleep Token song, this is the exact fucking way to do it. I have listened to this album all the way through probably about maybe 20 times now between Friday and today. I would imagine I have listened to just Past Self bare minimum 150 times, like no cap. Dangerous is the next song, and I love the way that it builds itself up, because after the first minute and a half or so, it could have easily just gone right into being a heavy song, but it takes this stop along the way, and it has this beat with these small little electronic details that are enough to really allow Dangerous to blossom into something that distinguishes itself from the rest of Even in Arcadia. And then later on, towards the ending of that song, Vessel does the repeated line stuff again, this time with the lyrics, "Won't you show me how to dance forever?" And even that line itself goes through this sort of like evolution of sounds in just a minute. I think it's a very cool way to, you know, again, kind of take the listener on this adventure, and for it to come right after Past Self and in between Caramel, I think that's like a really innovative spot in a way for Dangerous. Right after Caramel, there is the title track, Even in Arcadia, and like the only way I can really describe this song is just by like the fucking chills that it sent down my spine the first time I heard it. Even in Arcadia, it is primarily like this piano ballad that Vessel is like just pouring his heart into, and it sounds, well, like I want to say beautiful, but I feel like that doesn't even like really serve the entire purpose of what I'm trying to say about this title track. It is just, it's a magical song, and some of my favorite lines on this entire record exist on Even in Arcadia. "I am the final dawn, I am the flood, and what was missing from the scriptures will be written in my blood. Dig down into the mud, what good is this talk of wings when there is nothing left above?" And then later on in that same song you hear, "No matter how we feel, we got a taste for one another and a few good years to kill. No matter what is real, it seems that even in Arcadia, you walk beside me still." And by this point in the record, I am like just floored, like genuinely in such astonishment that, like, you know, Sleep Token, they did it again. Because, and by this point in the album, I understand, okay, it might not have like the exact level of experimentation as Take Me Back to Eden, but I actually do admire the kind of like rooting and grounding that the sonic tones and the flares of Sleep Token are finding themselves in on Even in Arcadia. And this sounds like a band that is just like so refined, and they understand who they are and who they want to be and the sounds that they want to get across to all of us. Provider is a very interesting song, we'll put it that way. I love the, for lack of a better word to use here, the aura that it holds and that it has, and like the, just the very smooth way that Vessel kind of like navigates his way through the verses in this song. The second verse in particular, I think really stands out to me. "I want to do more than just bend the rules, because you've been hitting my phone so hard. I found it breathing through a tube in the ICU. Yeah, ICU. The only bad baddie spinning eyes in the room. The only good girl this side of the moon. And you're the only game that I like to lose." And I think it's actually debatable if he actually says baddie and not body, but I'm saying baddie because it sounds a lot funnier that way. This song has life, and it has character to it. And I think that's a big reason of why I gravitate to Provider. I gravitate to every song on this record, but I think Provider has like maybe a little bit something extra to it, a little bit something special, you know? It's a very, very cool song. I love the pop inspiration to it. Again, the lyrics, I think, are stellar here. If somebody were to tell me that Provider is their favorite song on the album, I'm pretty sure I would say, like, yeah, I get it. I understand why. Gethsemane. I want to say, and anybody can correct me if I have this wrong, I feel like, just out of everything that I've observed the past few days out of the Sleep Token fan base online, I think Gethsemane is like the consensus favorite on the album. I feel like it's the one that I've seen the most praise for, the one that I've seen people freak out over the most, the one that they, like, you know, claim and identify with the most. I think Gethsemane has been able to have this really, like, sick and cool effect on the fan base, and it's totally reasonable to see why that is, because, you know, when I said Past Self was my favorite song on the record earlier, and I made sure to mention that it's really not a layered song, Gethsemane is kind of like the embodiment of the opposite end of that argument, I would say. Gethsemane is so fucking layered, so detailed. Like, you could listen to the song, like, maybe 10 times through, and I feel like each time you're going to notice something about it that you didn't before. And it's because there's just, like, so many different directions that the song is turning your head into, but never in an overwhelming way. I think the way the song starts with Vessel, like, speaking very softly, and his voice sounds, like, so high, it's such a really unique way to begin this song and, like, kind of start to ease the listener into what Gethsemane is ultimately going to be. And then after that first verse, I think that's where the song, like, really takes its first major turn, and it starts to give, like, anime opening vibes to me. Like, that's kind of what was going through my mind when I heard the rest of the band come in. And actually, I think you could, like, convincingly separate this song into four different acts. You have the intro, and then that second part, which I just mentioned right now as being, like, kind of this experimental section, and then a section that is more closely resembling the traditional Sleep Token heavy style, and then at the very end of the song you have this extended, like, R&B section. And I really don't believe there is anything on this album quite like Gethsemane. It exists on an island all to itself, and it's an island that, again, I know a lot of people have, like, really, really been fans of, and they've really gravitated to it. And I think it's amazing that a song like Gethsemane has been able to have that kind of a stranglehold on them. And then from there, the album closes with Infinite Baths. And this is the longest song in the record. It's 8 minutes and 23 seconds. And it flies by, actually. Like, the first time I heard it, it did not feel like that whatsoever. I think Infinite Baths is another one of those, like, very layered style songs. I really enjoy how it begins with kind of, like, a return to that 8-bit sound that you could hear right at the start of Look to Windward. And I keep mentioning, like, journey and adventure and epic and all that sort of shit, but, like, that's really what Infinite Baths, I think, is meant to kind of take a listener on. And it feels like the proper closer to the album while also, like, leaving some room for ambiguity. And I think what I mean by that is, okay, Infinite Baths is, like, very oddly structured in some ways for a Sleep Token album closer, because you do have, like, those very, like, soft moments where you feel like that could be the ending to the song, but when you get to that moment in Infinite Baths, I'm looking at the time remaining on the song, and I'm like, there's, like, more than 3 minutes left. Like, what's about to happen? What are they about to do? And then Sleep Token throws at the listener perhaps the heaviest that they have ever sounded in the outro to Infinite Baths, and it's like, it feels like the world that they have created for themselves disintegrating around them and disintegrating around you. And it remains heavy throughout the ending, which has, like, a fade-out outro. And it sounds like more of a cliffhanger than an actual, like, real final stamp on the album. Like, you know, okay, compare it to the closer on Take Me Back to Eden, which is Euclid. Euclid closes, like, very beautifully, and, you know, that was meant to be, like, the end of the trilogy for Sleep Token, stretching from Sundowning to This Was to Become a Tomb, and then into Taking Back to Eden. So it made sense for Euclid to have that kind of an ending. Whereas here, with Infinite Baths, it feels like not everything was explored just yet for this concept. And I know that there are some people, and I believe State of the Scene's Twitter account actually aggregated this. I know some fans have theorized that there could be a second album by Sleep Token later on this year, or beginning of next year, or whatever it might be. I am not going to subscribe to any of those beliefs or theories, because right now I really just want to celebrate Even and Arcadia. But I think it is at least worth pointing out that, or pointing out that the outro to Infinite Baths, it does feel like almost weirdly incomplete in some ways. So we'll see what happens later on. Sleep Token is a very, like, you know, lore-centric band, so this could be a very strategic thing by them, and I would actually be surprised if it was not. When I think about Even in Arcadia and how I would compare it to Take Me Back to Eden, okay, not so much comparing in sound, but comparing in, like, how they made me feel. I think there's a little bit more confidence in Even and Arcadia in a way, at least on my end. Because with Take Me Back to Eden, my belief going into that record was like, okay, this band that I was like very, you know, whatever on, they have me hooked now, and I need them to stick the landing. And then they did. And then now with Even and Arcadia, this is a band that had nothing to prove to me. I already understood just how special and great they are. And then Even in Arcadia just reaffirmed all of that. It's very much like, okay, I'm not comparing this band to Sleep Token, I'm just comparing the circumstances, at least from my eyes. When I was a little kid in the 2000s, my favorite album was City of Evil by Avenged Sevenfold. Still one of my favorite albums of all time, love that record so much. I didn't need Self-Titled, which came out 2 years later, to like validate my love for the band. I already knew what I had with them. But that album like just reaffirmed, like, goddamn, this is my band. I think that's what's happening with Even and Arcadia. It's reaffirming the idea that Sleep Token, after all this time, is a band that I truly connect to on a level that extends beyond just appreciating the music. It is a truly phenomenal record, a special body of work by a very special band. And, you know, even with me saying all of these nice things about Even in Arcadia, I feel like I might still have, like, room to grow with this album. And that's crazy considering how much I love it and how, you know, perfect I think it is. Even in Arcadia is going to, like, mold itself to my head and my heart even further as time progresses in the future. And above all else, like I've been saying, this album just like really reminded me of why I have been able to connect to Sleep Token the way that I have. And I see that all throughout social media. I know that there are a lot of other people who have been able to feel that way about this record. As of this recording, I do not believe that it has actually been said if this is going to be a number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. It looks to be that way, but we can't say for sure. But what I want to close this review out on is, I think everybody should be rooting for this album to be number one, and for this album to, you know, break all of the charts that it possibly can. Because even if you are a detractor of Sleep Token, and even if you don't get this band or whatever the fuck, I think you should still be rooting for its success, because the success of this band is going to parlay into the success of the scene altogether. There was a video on Metal Burb's Instagram. I can't remember exactly who he was talking to or like what the conversation was like really centered around, but somebody on that video said that Sleep Token is a gateway band for a lot of people right now to get into heavier music. And I think that's something that people really should keep in mind whenever they see Sleep Token's name at the top of all these charts and with these streaming numbers and TikTok numbers and, you know, whatever else. For some people, Sleep Token is their introduction to heavier music. And for that kind of a band to be number one and further open that gate for a lot of people, that's a win for the scene. Like, fuck all of that gatekeeping bullshit. The more people are into this music, the more that, you know, records are sold, the more that merch is sold, the more that tickets are sold, the more money and opportunities that there are for bands involved. And if Sleep Token's success can parlay into the success of an entire scene, why the fuck would you not root for that to happen? And I do believe that's the note that I will be closing on. If any of you guys, for whatever reason, have yet to listen to Even in Arcadia, I cannot stress enough how much of a like a necessary and mandatory listen I believe this is for anybody who is even marginally into alternative music. And I hope that my words in some way, shape, or form were able to convey that importance to you guys. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. How long is every hour? Oh my god, 50 minutes. Alright, well, that's much longer than I thought it would go, but, yeah, who cares? I enjoy myself here. And I had a reason to ramble about this album because, you know, it means a lot to me. This band means a lot to me. I didn't think they would a couple years ago, but they do, and I'm happy about that. Thank you guys so, so fucking much for listening to this episode. If you made it all the way to the end, you're a fucking G. I love you. Thank you guys, take care, and have a great week.